our recovery. Very simple, pure NA purist. And one thing I want to say is that I'm just so grateful that he and the people that came down with him to this retreat this weekend. It's just you know, it's a moving experience. It's I've always wanted this to happen, you know. And I'm really grateful that y'all was able to come down. One of the things that has touched me was the fact that not long ago he was really, really ill, and I was really worried about whether he would even be here today. And you know, God is able if he is sought. So I'm honored to present to y'all George F. from Buffalo, New York.
Eddie George, I'd like to first off thank the committee for asking me to come down and share my experience, Strength and Hope. This is the second time me coming down this area, sharing, you know, and I was sitting and talking with the fellows, and they was reminiscing about, you know, different things, and I brought up that when the last time I came down here, I shared on not just the 12-step, all 12 steps, and I didn't remember that, you know. I guess the topic today is each one reach one. You know, and what better way to reach another addict is through the 12 steps. You know, but in Works on Why, it talks about that first of all, in order to reach somebody, they got to be open-minded. You know, and it talked about humility. You know, you got to be humble. You know, because I know when I first came around here, I didn't listen. You know, I was like, how you going to tell me what to do? You know, I've been here for a number of ages. I've been this old for the longest. I'm grown. And I didn't make it the first time when I first came to Narcotics Anonymous. I went back out because I had no humility. You know, I got humiliated, you know, to the point where I wanted to take my own life. You know, And through going through what I went through to get to where I'm at today, you know, I'm humble today. You know, like I talked about, 2007 I got sick. And I was in the hospital for almost a whole year. You know, and they counted me out. You know, this just came to me. I was in the bathroom just a few minutes ago. Before I came out the bathroom, this came to me. You know, when I was in, I can remember being in the hospital, my wife coming up there every day, and the doctors and nurses every day was telling me stuff that I didn't want to hear. You know, and I guess the program kicked in. I got humble. You know, the doctors used to come in every day talking about, you got to walk. You got to take your walks around the hospital. I'm like, I ain't trying to hear that. Like I said, I was like bedridden. I thought, you know, I wasn't willing. You know, I guess that's another way people are able to reach other addicts. I got to be willing. You know, and I was, like I said, I wasn't willing when I was in the hospital to take the simple suggestions. They wanted me to walk every day. They wanted me to, you know, get up out that bed because I just wanted to lay there. You know, that's where I was at. You know, I guess I almost gave up. You know, but then it got to the point of me being in that room, and like I said, the program kicking in, and I was able to surrender. You know, and I was able to admit that my powers over my addiction and my life had become unmanageable. You know, and unmanageability was set forth because I didn't want to surrender to the program called Narcotics Anonymous, what the doctor then was telling me. You know, but then I got to the point of coming to believe you know, and Paul Grant and myself, which were my doctors, you know. And I always talk about, you know, my doctors, my doctor, my lawyer, and my sponsors, my sponsor. You know, so whatever environment I'm in, you know, I gotta listen to what's being told to me. And that's another form of humility. Got to listen. You know, and when I first came around this program, they said, go to a meeting, stay a prayer, and don't pick up. Get a sponsor, get a home group, and get involved. They talked about staying away from people, places, and things. And the one thing that I ain't listened to, I wasn't humble to, staying away from people, places, and things. I went back out. You know, I was on some, they my friends. I grew up with them. You know, if we come around here, we get a few days clean, a few minutes clean, then all of a sudden, we want to show the world that we clean. You know, and that's where I was at. They my friends. I can go around them. You know, and it almost cost me my life. You know, like I said, I went back out now. And through the grace of a loving, caring God, you know, I was able to make it back here. You know, it didn't take that long for me to come back here because the last time I used was a jarring experience for me. You know, they say relapse ain't a requirement, but it could be jarring enough to you stay here. And the last time I used it was a jarring experience. You know, I wanted to take my own life, and I can remember when I was in active addiction that I was always talking about bury me with some joints in my casket. I was willing to go active way. But when I came to the program and got robbed, you know, I didn't want to go that way. You know, so, you know, they talk about also in the 12 stuff how the message is meaningless if we ain't living it. You know, and that's another way that we carry. We reach the other addicts, you know, because, you know, they say they ain't no role model of the recovering addict, but addicts watch other addicts in this program. You know, in the area I'm from, you know, we watch people, and I still watch people. You know, and I've been around for a while. I watch people because that's a form of me staying teachable. You know, I watch what you do. You know, I get my hope out of watching other people, you know, come to this program and grow. You know, watch them grow. You know, and turn from weeds to flowers. You know, as I call it. You know, they come in as a weed, and then all of a sudden they turn into that flower. That gives me hope. You know, and that's a form of reaching other addicts. You know, we make this message mean something. You know, and they talk about it as meaningless if we ain't living. And I choose not to have a message to say my life be meaningless. So I choose to, you know, work spiritual principles every day in my life. You know, and I don't walk around with a notebook and pad, come on, working this principle and that principle. It just happened, you know, through the process of living this stuff, you know. Over a period of time. You know, they say recovery happened, but you know, it don't happen overnight. But over a period of time, you know, it happened for me. I was standing over there talking to Stephen just a few minutes ago, and he I guess he thought something was wrong with me, and I was telling him, I'm just, you know, relaxed. You know? And I shared with him how I was in the hospital and how being in the hospital for almost a whole year took a lot out of me. It made me real humble, like, you know, I go to meetings and when I first got out of the hospital, I went home, but you can bet I was at a meeting that same night. You know, to me, that's staying teachable. You know, and I go to meetings today, and I sit and listen. You know, a lot of times, and be having the most clean time in the meeting. People would be like, you know, he ain't sharing. You know, not knowing that I'm sharing. Because it also talks about on page 102 in the basic text that, listening is a gift. And it talks about if you're able to listen in this program, you will grow spiritually in a spiritual program. You know, on page 102, it talks about, you know, listening. So I'm carrying a message. They just can't identify it. You know? And they say this is a program of identification. You know, you need to be identified. You know, a lot of times, people come around this program, they think it would come out of my mouth as a message. And sometimes the message is unsaid. You know? Sometimes it's just showing up. You know, sitting there for 90 minutes. And, you know, not jumping up and down, going outside to the coffee pot. In my area, we jump up and down and go outside and buy stuff. We got flea markets outside our meetings, you know, and come in, get a cup of coffee, and go outside and buy three or four DVDs and two or three packs of cigarettes, you know. And that's the message that they're trying to carry in our area. But in my home group, we got a different message we carry. And part of carrying the message and reaching somebody is IPs, you know, the literature, you know, and that's what we carry in my home group. And sometimes, you know, I find out in my home group that we stand alone. You know, a lot of people be with that, you know, recovering on the outside instead of on the inside. You know, but I'm grateful that I was taught right by a sponsor. You know. You know, and that's how I learned how to in order to keep it, give it away. It talks about it in the 12th step, you know, how to, in order to keep what I have, I got to give it away. You know, and it also talks about, in the 12th step, in the basic text, it also talks about, through you working the 12th step, you know, it tells you how you going to be, too. You know, and it talks about having a peace of mind and concern for others. You know? And I got that peace of mind and concern for others. I called and asked if we'll come down and speak. And it talks about also in the literature that asked go thousands of miles to carry the message. And I was like, we'll be there. You know, and we got here. You know? In God's time, we didn't get here when we wanted to get here. You know? I wanted to click my heels and be here. You know, just like I want to click my heels and go back home. You know, I don't want to do the footwork. And that's the problem that most addicts have. We don't want to do the footwork around this program. You know, we want to ease the softer way. But recovery is work. You know? Recovery is work. You know, I'm just so grateful to be a part of this program. You know, and they talk about, I was at a meeting the other night where this addict was sharing about how, you know, once you go through the 12 steps, that they didn't know there was anything else to do. You know, they didn't know this program had something to offer them. And it talked about, I was just reading it this morning in the 12th step, and it works out on why. It talks about having some joy. You know, in this program, it talks about being happy, joyous, and free. You know, and it talked about having some joy. You know, and it's joy, in, like I just said, it's joy in seeing other addicts get this thing, you know, through my shared experience. You know. In the 12th tradition, it talks about, you know, big eyes, little ewes. You know, it's a wee thing. This is a wee thing. And it's been joy when an addict come in this room and I see him, you know, shaky, insecure, scared to death, and all of a sudden, they real boisterous around. They keynote speakers. They great communicators. You know, it's the joy in that stuff. Then they also talked about being happy, you know. I'm happy on most days. You know, I'll sit back and you might not think I'm happy because I'm quiet, you know, but that's what I choose to be. You know, I'm a quiet person, but I'm happy. I'm always happy, you know. I'm able to have, and I have fun in recovery. You know, we had so much fun this weekend, it didn't make no sense, man. So much stuff was going on. We just left a meeting. One of my sponsors tripped up and fell. I asked him, was he all right first before I started laughing. I couldn't hold it in. You know, but we have fun in recovery. You know, when I asked him, was he all right, he goes talking about, am I all right? You know, I'm like, he didn't even know, you know. The next thing you know, we looked around, he was gone. You know, we ain't seen no more. You know, but I couldn't hold it in, you know. You know, if you don't be around me, we're going to laugh and joke. And that's what we do. We laugh and joke. We've been laughing and joking since we got here. You know, and just enjoying life without the use of drugs. You know, this is fun to me. I love this type of stuff. It feels good to be somewhere else, you know, instead of being in my home area. For one, my phone ain't going off the hook. Man, you don't know how good that feels. It feels so good, you know, to be able to be somewhere where your phone ain't going off the hook, or people who's always questioning you and asking you, you know, this and that, this and that. It's a lot of fun. And then it's a lot of fun to be able to come somewhere and share my experience with some other people, you know. other addicts, people are just like me, you know, in other areas, you know, it's a lot of fun in that stuff, you know, and a lot of people don't get a chance to do that, because they ain't humble enough, you know, and the 12 steps, the spiritual purpose of the 12 steps is selfless service. You know, a lot of times people think they talk about being selfish. It's not selfish. Selfless. You know, in the 12 step in the basic text, it talks about the best insurance against a relapse is to carry the message. You know, but you got to get a message in order to carry one. This room should be packed. It should be packed in here. You know, because we all need a message. You know? So we had the best insurance. In chapter 5 in the basic text, it talks about the best guarantee is to work the steps against relapse. That's what our message is. You know, we go to meetings and we hear all this other stuff. It talks about also in chapter 5 in the basic text, today we see solutions, not problems. You know, I done been in many meetings where all I hear is a problem. I leave that meeting, I got to go to another meeting so I can deal with my unmanageability. Because I get unmanageable, you know, just by being in the meeting. You know, and I know I ain't the only one that feel like that sometimes. You know, I had a sponsee, I tell my wife, yo, I'm firing this dude. Right? And just last week I was reading the Step Working Guide in the 12 Step. It talked about unconditional love. Program robbed me again. I can't fire nobody. You know? But then it also talked about unconditional love. A lot of times people need to realize what unconditional love is. Sometimes unconditional love is letting the person go. You know? But the human part of me think, you know, me letting somebody go, I'm wrong. I'm being wrong. When sometimes I need to let you go so you can get to where you need to get to. Because I can hinder you too. You know? I carry the message strongly in my area. And people sometimes latch onto me and ask me to sponsor them just because of what I do for my recovery. And it can be a hindrance, like this sponsor that I had. Been with this guy for 13 years. Can't stay clean. So I told him, yo, you need to move on to somebody else, you know, to get the help you need. You know, he was shook up when I told him that. You know, and I didn't want to tell him that. But like I said, I was hindering him. You know, us being addicts, we tend to do what we want to do. So he manipulated me. You know, I get together with my sponsees over a period of time every week. So he just forced himself back in and told me, you know, you're still my sponsor. I'm like, yeah, I know. You know, I know I'm still a sponsor. You know, but that's that unconditional love, though. You know, and the program been robbed me. You know, because sometimes I be wanting to be like, I can't be that way. You know, because the message would be meaningless if I ain't living. And what I need to live is the spiritual principles of all 12 steps. You know? You know, I need to have some integrity in 9. You know? I need to have some brotherly love in 8. You know? I need to be honest with myself in 1. You know? Some surrender in 1. You know, I need to have some hope in 2. And I need to have some faith in 3. You know, that my higher power is going to get me through. You know, I love to read the basic text, and the basic text it talks about, it asks me the question when in the basic, I personalize, because they say it's special for my personal recovery. So in the third step it talks about, it asks the question, do you want all that the NA program holds for you? And my answer was, yeah, I want it all. And then, but it tell you that you need to go on then. You know? You need to go on. Then it talks about in step 11, it talks about the spiritual principle of step 11 is power. You know, you need to identify how you get that power. Through prayer and meditation. You know, my wife spoke on the letter said last night, and she was talking about how if we ain't got to go to other places to get what we need to get. I got that power here right in the program in Nakata Nuns. And I get it every day. If I get to the meeting early and say that prayer, you know, and close with that moment of silence and say a prayer, and at the meeting is over, I'm praying and I'm meditating. They say keep it simple. They say it's a simple program for complicated people. I keep it simple because I'm complicated. You heard me talk about when I went back out, I ain't listen. I ain't had no humility. You know, I ain't had none. You know, so I got some power in step 11. You know, in step 12, you know, I said selfless service. You know, and usually when they ask me to come speak somewhere or do anything, I'm right with it. Let's go. You know, even though I do still get nervous. I think somebody asked me, well, I'm nervous. Yeah, I get nervous. I'm always nervous. You know, but he told me, you know, that nervousness means that God is coming through me. You know, and I can remember that prayer in the bathroom. I asked God to talk through me, use me. But all I am is an instrument. You know, because to me, that's how God get his people. We still his people just because we addicts. But we think we just scum of the earth. We ain't just scum of the earth. God got us here for a reason. We're here for a reason. You know, and I read it to carry the message to the addicts who still suffer. There's plenty of addicts. They say inside and outside these rooms. You know, and we need to carry it. You know, oh man, life is real meaningful today for me. You know, like I said, and it's real meaningful because they're counting me out. I remember being in the hospital for that year. The doctor came in the room, and I was laying on the bed, quiet. You know, in a whole bunch of pain that I don't wish on nobody. You know, my wife came in with the doctor, and he stood at the end of the bed talking about, we don't know what to do. You know, we done tried everything. You know, while he said that, I was over here dealing with my higher power. Because when he said that they didn't try everything they needed to try, I said, you ain't tried God. You know? You know, and like I said, I wasn't humble enough at first to do what they were telling me to do. But once I started doing what they said do, I came home. I remember I couldn't even get up to wash myself up. My wife used to come in here every day. I used to wait for her every day. I guess I was told so sinner. But I used to wait for her every day to come wash me up. But I remember waking up the last day of me being in that hospital. I woke up that morning and got up and washed myself up. I knew I was going home then. You know, and I was walking the hospital floor. They couldn't believe it. Instead of walking, they wanted me to walk 2 times. I was walking about 10 times. They couldn't even believe it. And when I left that hospital, this is what recovery would do for you. I left that hospital. The nurses and this one nurse, she made a statement that she didn't want me to leave. She had to catch herself. She said I was the best patient she ever had, was crying and everything. This aide was crying. She went too often to this room, was just crying, talking about, just leave me alone. I had to follow in the room and console her. She was crying her full head off. You know, they couldn't believe it. They just called me Little Miracle around there. You know, and I am a miracle. You know, but it was unreal. You know, and I was like, how old is all to recovery? Like I said, when I left that hospital, I went to a meeting. I've been going to meetings ever since. That's been over 2 years straight. I've been going to meetings. You know, and I go to the meeting and I sit and listen. Because there's still something for me to hear and to learn. You know, and my sponsor today told me there's a secret to this thing. And he said, we get this thing through our ears and not through our mouth anyway. So it ain't about, like I said, it ain't about what I say. You know, it's about what I hear. You know, but I need to apply some identification with this stuff, you know, so it can reach me. Because they told me you got to keep my recovery first, too, now. You know, sometimes I need to reach myself, you know, and the way I have reached myself is through the 12 steps and 12 traditions program, you know, over a period of time. You know, they say go to a meeting, say a prayer, and don't pick up. They say get a sponsor, get a home group, get involved. You know, I hear people talking about service all the time, and in the simple, it talks about self first. You know, when I sponsor God, I tell them to you know, they want to go on the service, I tell them they need to get with themselves first. I said, in that way, if you get with yourself, then when it's time for you to do service, you won't be up there area service, whatever level of service you're with, clogging it up with controversy. You be done worked on yourself. Because a lot of times, we get in service, man, and then we leave service because we got to go straight to a meeting because everybody all jacked up because ain't nobody worked on their own defects, you know. But they all right. They run up to the service and work on everybody else's, you know, instead of working on their own. So I believe in the symbol. It talks about soul, society, service, and God. You know, it's in that order. Soul, service, society, and God. You know, God is a universal program. And to me, universal means everywhere. He's everywhere. You know, but it's stuff that you need to be doing. Stuff that you need to be doing so God can, you know, have his input into what you're doing. You know, but you got to get with yourself first. You know, I'm glad to be here. You know, I already told Amanda some stuff to the slide. Let him share with y'all. You know, like I said, me being in the hospital for a year took a lot out of me. You know, and I'm still working on it. You know, I'm getting better because I'm sharing a little stronger. You know, but thanks for letting me share.
Okay, once again, we got to... Can we give George another hand, please?
Yes, sir.
Our next speaker is one of the brothers that I came up in recovery. George was both of our sponsors. And he was the type of addict that was really strong into the literature. Really believed in the literature a lot. And we used to march around together with our books and stuff, waiting for jokers to get out of line so we can put everything back on track. Assassinating the, you know, doing what we need to do in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and make sure we call ourselves the self-righteous crew. There was another member of the self-righteous crew named Fred that passed away not too long ago, you know, and we used to hold court in Narcotics Anonymous, make sure that everybody abided by, you know, the traditions and share what was in the book, not what was just coming out of their head. But without further ado, I'd like to introduce y'all to one of my brothers in recovery, Donald W.
I'm an addict. My name is Donald. Can we have a moment of silence for one moment so I can ask God to decrease me to increase him? Thank you. Again, I'm an addict. My name is Donald. I don't know. I guess for some reason, I guess whatever the reason is, I just feel real emotional right now. I don't even, being here, I'm grateful for them having me to come. This area, you know, I was thinking about Barb, you know, what she meant to me and, what she meant to Art and her son. And, you know, seeing him speak today really just really got to me, you know. You know, with his son and remembering his struggles. And, you know, I was, like, messed up. I was messed up. I was, like, you know, seeing somebody grow in this process, you know, somebody that at one time didn't have a hold of this thing, to get a hold of this thing means a lot to me, for me to see that, because I can remember being there, being that person that didn't have this thing and couldn't stay clean. So when you was up there speaking, I seen the little boy running around They said, that's this little boy. The little boy, and I remember he was like that. And he was having your struggles. And your mother always had something good to say to me. You know, we always had words, her and I. I've been thinking about her all day. Then y'all come talking about that balloon stuff. I said, damn. Sometimes it's okay to cry. Sometimes it is. You know, I couldn't cry. I don't remember I couldn't cry. I couldn't cry. It's a hurting feeling that I'm experiencing. Sort of like hurting, and sometimes we want things to be the way we want it to be. You know, we want to live forever. Then listen to George was sharing when he was sick and all that. I didn't want to hear him talk about it. I don't want to hear him talk about that. Because I already had told him when he was sick, I said, if you die, I'm going to kill your motherfucking ass. I already had told him. Shit. So he was up here talking about that. I'm like, come on, man. I don't want to hear that. Because I remember all that, too. You know, so I guess whatever you feel, you need to feel. And through all that, we was reaching one another. We was reaching one another. We was reaching another. You know, and they helped me, and I helped somebody, and that's how this thing goes. You know, so being here this weekend has been real refreshing for me. It really has. Through the highs and the lows, falling on my ass. I don't know what the fuck happened. Shit, I thought I was drunk. I was on the fucking floor. And it happened so fast. I'm like, what the fuck? Then I want to blame. I'm looking for somebody to blame. Somebody pushed me. But wasn't nobody there. How the fuck I get here? So they ask me, what you doing? Let me help you up. You all right? Am I? I don't know, fuck. I told you I had a blackout. He said, but you ain't been drinking. How you have a blackout and you ain't drink? What the fuck? Then I had on this shirt I bought. It was a 3X. I put the motherfucker on, the button started popping off. I said, this little motherfucker here, it got to go. So then I said, you don't need no, you know, you grow, you learn. People, I can take criticism today. I can take getting ribbed on today. People gave me some information today. They said, I shouldn't have worn no Timberland. They said, Jamil, this is for the wintertime. I said, no, this is for camping out. You wear cams in the wintertime. I said, no, you can wear them in the camp out. But then the motherfuckers reason why I fell, I think. Because to heal this motherfucker high. So I grabbed some polo. No, I'm serious. I grabbed some polo sneakers. They was like that. I said, no, they're not high enough. I should have put on the polo shoes. I wouldn't have fell on my ass. Hell of a weekend. Hell of a weekend. I met that crazy guy back there, Nate. He is crazy. I met that other guy here in town. I hope he go home. He's crazier than you. So I've been having a ball up here. I've been having a ball. I've been enjoying this stuff. Even in the rain. I know a lot of people around here. It appears to me, I'm a book thumper. I like the basic text. I'm going to keep it with me. They taught me. He taught me well about carrying my book and sharing from the book. I guess the theme of the thing is each one reach one. And I guess it ties in with the 12th tradition, the 12th step, but really it ties into recovery, because recovery is a contact sport. Recovery is something that we do around here. We help each other get better. So like George was saying, the room should be packed. Some people around the area that I've talked to, I don't know, it's a young area, but they don't have a lot of information. And you got to be thirsty for this thing. You got to have this shit in your fiber. You got to have it in your blood. Narcotics Anonymous needs to flow. I remember my first convention that I went to the convention in Pittsburgh. I was allowed to go. They wouldn't let me go before that because I was on parole. When the lady finally said, you can go, we went to Pittsburgh. And I heard in my first Narcotics Anonymous convention, my very first one, I heard a guy, Thomas P., say, you got to want to recover bad, you ever want to do anything in your life.
Right.
And that stuck. He said, you got to want to recover bad, you ever want to do anything in your life. I said, what? Recovery is something that, you know, you like, you dislike, something that you love. You got to give up the things that you love in order to recover. The man, the woman, the dope, the whatever, to get this thing. So, and that's what we've been doing. That's what I've been doing. Falling short here and there, like I did today. I fell on my head. I got up. I didn't stay down. I got up. And they ribbed on me. Not just today. I've been falling a few times around here. I got 16 years clean. It ain't been a smooth walk. I'm talking about falling without no motherfucking Tim's on. But getting up, standing perpendicular to a God of my understanding, and getting this thing called a recovery and understanding. Because today, I'm holding. I'm holding. And in the 12th edition, it was talking about principles before personalities, you know, and you know, a lot of times when I travel or I'm involved in an A, I don't look at this thing like you better than me or I'm better than you. I do, but I do look at this. I do, and I got to tell the truth. I be looking at who got information. You know what? You ain't even got to live it for real to me to have information, because I need to live it. Give me information. You ain't got to live it. I don't give a fuck. You can show me how to stop smoking, even if you ain't stopped. Tell me what to do. Give me the suggestions. Because sometimes we're like, signs on the highway. Signs on the highway just give direction. They don't take them themselves. They just give direction. And I was so confused when I got here, I needed direction on what to do, how to do it. And I got with them brothers over there, Veronica, Jordan, and Artem. I got with them guys, and they showed me what to do. They said, Donald, give me a book. Understand what principle before personality means. It means putting the principles of this program before my personality. Don't let me show up, because when I show up, it's trouble. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be thinking because, watch this, clean time don't equal recovery. Give me some information. You can have one day with some information and help me. All that big eyes, the little you this, you that, you share all the time like Shakespeare. Give me some information. Show me what you mean. Attend the meeting. Sit up front. Shut the fuck up and listen. That's how I learned. That's how I learned. I reach out all the time to people, whether they like it or not. Sometimes I'm considered a controversial person. Because I would come up to you and ask you shit, right, Nate? What'd you say? What was that? Come here. Because the literature don't lie. The literature don't lie. Not at all. I'm going to read something out the 12th tradition. They say that's where that went. The theme to the 12th step and the 12th tradition. The dictionary definition of anonymity is stating or bearing no names. In keeping with tradition 12, the I become we. The spiritual foundation becomes more important than any one group or individual. As we find ourselves growing closer, an awakening of humility occurs. Humility is the byproduct that allows us to grow and develop an atmosphere of freedom and remove all fears of becoming known to our employer, families, friends, as addicts. Therefore, we attempt to rigorously adhere to the principle that what is said in meetings stays in meetings. Personally, I don't have no fears about my boss and them knowing who I am. Because I've just been, I don't want to use that word because I haven't been liking that word lately, the blessed. I don't really like that word no more. I don't want to get into that because I ain't studied it enough to give y'all that information yet. Stay tuned, though. Stay fucking tuned to that. Because something wrong, I know that. Because a lot of times, you know, we say we blessed when we just be favored. Sometimes we say we blessed because we creatures with we got our own will. We do what we want to do. Sometimes blessings turn into catastrophes because he allows us to do, you know. So just stay tuned. I'm going to leave it at that. But getting back to the anonymity piece and me being who I am, I don't have that fear about employers or people knowing me and all that kind of stuff by first name, last name. Did I shoot dope? Did I drink? Did I take pills? Am I recovering? And all that. My jobs are foreign to me. All my jobs I do, they know what I do. They know where I'm at now. They know I'm on a retreat somewhere, basically getting some rest from their ass. But sometimes when we come, these name tags is significant. We go places and we wear our name tags and, you know, to meetings and we have our name tags showing and people see where you work. You have your work tag because we ain't had no jobs. We ain't had shit. So now we want everybody to know we got a 9-to-5 and we wear the tags at Buffalo General Hospital and all that. Be flashing and, you know, you're breaking your own anonymity. You're letting people know where you work. You're letting people know why you eating. And what happens a lot of times, you need to be careful with that too because a lot of everybody don't like everybody here. Come on now. Everybody don't like everybody because you go to the same meetings, you're in the same home group, you're in the same sponsor family. You don't like everybody that you be around. We love each other because we need each other. But we don't like each other. We get jealous and envy and all that shit. I'm keeping it real. You know we do. So they might make a phone call to your job. Yeah, did you know what's the name is an addict? Who is this? It's an anonymous caller. Who are you talking about? I'm talking about Billie Jean. She go to meetings and all that shit. She used to shoot dope, smoke crack, click, and hang up. So then, your boss, you rouse curiosity. Don't be the type of person like most of us do, because we ain't never worked hard, a lot of us. Or if we did work, we had problems on the job. Always a trouble one, always in the boss's office all the time, always taking off work. Top time come, all that time we have off work, we be the first one to use ours up in the first couple months. You know what I mean? So you already under the microscope. They suspect you use it. Now somebody will call with that information. It's happened. That has happened. I know experience of that happened in our program, so we need to be careful of that. You know, sometimes when we go to meeting, what they're talking about in the 12th tradition is where some addicts think they're bigger than other addicts. In the Buffalo area, they had a meeting going on. Supposed to have been a meeting going on here. So at the same time they have a meeting going on here, they want to have a dance going on here. Because this person is a big dude. He got a lot of clean time. So they want to put the meeting, his clean time party, they want to put his clean time party before the meeting. Clean time party ain't got nothing to do with N.A. But because he's a big dude, he got a name, they want to have the party and forget about the meet because of the personality before the principles. Huh? And we do that around here. Everybody else paying. Here come Billy. He got 12 yesterday. Billy, you ain't got to pay. Hey, you need a shirt? Hey, you don't know. Oh, that's Billy. He got a good message. He got three girls and everything. Let Billy buy. Go ahead, Billy. Here come the newcomer. They ain't got no motherfucking money. Yo, you can't get in. Personality before the principle. We got to love and care with them too. A lot of times we use that, they say, it's like a cliche. Principles before personality. Do we really know what that means? Practice the principles of the program in our cards tonight. And another thing that I want to talk about too, because in the 12th tradition, it's really all the traditions rolled up into one. And around the program, a lot of us, and I'm saying all this to say, we need to do the work. We need to continuously to do the work. Because we don't want to do the work. A lot of times people look at it, the work is just doing the step. No, we need to do the traditions too. Because I don't know about other areas. In our areas, people think they can do what they want to do. You can't. Tradition, root word of tradition, historically, history is involved with a tradition. A tradition is something that's formulated, that's done consistently over a period of time that we adhere to. History is involved in the traditions. They talk about in the reading, our hard-won experience gave birth to the traditions. Our own experience that gave birth to the traditions. They're talking about the predecessors, Jimmy Cahill. People like that, that couldn't eat like this. They had to hide and whisper where they met at.
Right.
Back in the day, because if they got caught, they would be sent to jail or the hospital and put in a sale asylum. But if you was in that other group of people, they go, they was acceptable. So now we got the nerve to come to meetings and don't want to do the work. We don't understand the traditions. And we're slipping away from the traditions. That's why we're having so many problems in our meetings. That's why people are selling stuff. If they're selling stuff in here, give them the sixth tradition. And let them know how money, property, and prestige are diverted from your primary purpose. Read it to them. When groups put on function, read them the fourth tradition. They talk about anonymity. You can do what you want to do. Autonomy, I'm sorry. You can do what you want to do. No, you can't. What if controversy come behind it? They say, if not, all will be well. Well then. The second tradition, talking up the service structure. People, we was talking about it yesterday. People get in, they want to be chairperson every year. Every year, same motherfucking chairperson. Go, sit down somewhere. Go do coffee or something. Let somebody else do it, greedy ass person. You stuck on image time. I'm talking about the traditions. We don't allow other people to grow and develop. Talking up the service structure. I've done the work with all 12 traditions when I sponsored this program and the 12 steps. So I have an understanding. When I see things ain't going the way I think they need to be going, I know how to go in my book and find it. And try not to do no harm. I'm getting a little better at that. All right, I've gotten a little better. Just a little. Huh? They say change is gradual. And recovery is an ongoing process. So I'm grateful that I'm learning. And it's fun to have information to share with people about the program of Narcotics Anonymous. So we all need to be on the same page. Huh? We recover at different rates, but make no bones about it. The problem with the literature is the language. We might talk different, but we need to talk about the same thing. Huh? I got to say it like going to Canada. There's a lot of different ways to get there. Peace Bridge, Rainbow, Windsor, Ontario. But the bottom line, we all going to wind up in Canada. So we need to understand that. And keep our program alive and vibrant. And we can't have anything going on in our, and even places like this. Everybody should have a registration. You need to register. You need to register. If you're not just stealing. I'm just talking about stuff like that. But a lot of people walking around, they don't even understand or know. They don't know. You ain't going to stay clean by not knowing. You got to get into the literature and do the work. And do the steps. And understand the principles that's involved. And get with the sponsor and get with the home group. All the preambles, we need to know them. Verbatim. They said recovery is a reoccurring thing. When we got high, it was a reoccurring thing. Going to cop. Bringing it back. Cutting it up into 1,000 pieces. Smoking it. Looking crazy. On the floor. Out the window. Hey, cop. Go get it. Chop it up. Look on the floor. Out the window. Go cop. Go get it. Chopped it up. It's getting less now. It ain't much as it was, but it's still a reoccurring theme.
Right?
Now, you don't go cop now. You're going to rob a motherfucker. You're going to rob a motherfucker. Yeah. Look out the window first. For the motherfucker that you robbed. No, get the floor. The window first. That was my experience. I robbed. I didn't look out the window. They was outside. I looked on the floor first. When I looked up, they had bust through the door. Whooped his ass. A reoccurring thing. We ain't get tired of that. Get some dope. Put fire under it. Wet it up. Shoot it up. Freak out. Same thing. Why we can't do it in recovery? Why we don't know the preambles? We should know it by heart. All 5 or 7 of them. We should know it. I had to talk to some people up here about some stuff. Ignorance is bliss. But I just need to talk about it. We was exchanging the little cards. One dude said, why are we doing that? What's on the cards? Are you going to be in a program? Have some water, please. I got a dollar. And I'm registered. Stephen, I got my badge on. Dude said, don't even know. Who's in that? What's that? Who's in that? Why don't we know? We're in a program. We're in a program. Called Narcotics Anonymous. Why don't we know about the program that we're in? You never will be able to each one reach one if you don't know. Because once you get here, you're accountable. In our area, I don't know about them other areas. They used to say this in our area. Once you get a year, you're responsible. Responsible to who and what? To the newcomer. You're responsible to carry that message. You're responsible to somebody else. Because it's not about your ass anymore, important fucking person. It's not about you no more when you get a year and the job that you got back and the Benz that you're driving and the house that you bought. It's not about that. It's about giving back, reaching somebody else, dusting their ass off like we dusted yours off and show them how to do this thing. You're accountable for that. You're going to be held accountable for that one day. The NA guy go get your ass. You got to give back to the people. You got clean time. Quit running around and talking about how much clean time you got. Work it. Work it. Get with the peoples. I start from 8 to 80, blind, crippled, and crazy. Giving this message back. They used to go to another stand that we used to have in the street. Remember that? Oh, they don't do that no more. I carried a message from 8 to 80, blind, crippled, and crazy. That's my responsibility. Young people, people that got mental health issues recovering too. Ain't nobody looked at differently. I want to thank this area again, too. You know what? Because y'all are some of the nicest fucking people that I've met. I'm serious. You are. All the white people here are fucking nice.
What about the black people?
Fuck 'em. You know, you, hey, brothers and sisters, y'all know what's going down.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, race was an issue for me at one time, like most of us. Come on, now let's keep it real. When I get to an area, because I travel, we travel, we got some, well, we be on the road. You people. Hate that shit. You people. Why you put the...
You can put your cup on
that. Oh, you scared me, Art. Nice people. What, Nate? You start shit, Nate. Security, come get Nate. Nate, I told you, yo, me and Nate had a talk the other day. Let me just go in right quick. I got to go in. They got new papers out that we need to read. Huh? One of them talk about disruptive behaviors in our meetings. So people be saying this, ah, you can't put me, read that paper. You call a motherfucker police on a person if they acting a damn fool. Popo, get their ass. I'm talking about in a meeting. Disruptive behaviors. So nature, hey, my sponsor got all the fucking nature. That he don't know, he ain't got this book. Nate, here it is. He talks about it. Disruptive and violent, Nate, that's you. Violent behavior. Nate, that's what we got you, Nate. Yeah, hey, Nate, we're going to get to you. Nate, we don't get no way out. We ain't going to get no way out. Ain't no way out. Hey, once you get to Narcotics Anonymous, use it and never be the same. Huh? I'm grateful for this program. I'm grateful for where it took me to where I'm at now. I remember I couldn't stay clean when I first got here for a year and a half. I still had visions of the clouds. I couldn't stop. Only thing that stopped me was going to jail. That's the only thing that stopped me. Because they wouldn't let me run up and down the galleries. They wouldn't let me. They said, lock your ass in. That's my story. I did work for the penitentiary with my sponsor. We did step work through the mail. It got to the point I didn't have no more connections on the outside. Me and my sponsor wrote letters. You know what I asked him to send me? Literature. Can you send me some literature? I had all the fucking literature in the penitentiary. I prayed and asked God. You know the original prayer. If you just get me out of this one. I said, I carry your message and I ain't going to use no more. Through the grace of God and this wonderful program called Narcotics Anonymous, I ain't been to jail in 16 years. 16 years. I go, but I go to carry the message. I go to all the prisons now that used to house me. I got a message on my phone now waiting until I get back. We're going to Orleans on the 20-something of September. We're going in there to carry the message. I'd have been to Orleans. I'd have been to Attica. I'd have been to Wyoming. I'd have been to all the prisons that used to house me. Now they got to let me go when the speaking engagement is over. I like doing that because that's where I'm from. So I like to go back and show them the guys there. I had the similar charges that y'all got. Y'all can make it. Because most people that get in trouble, 95% of them have drug problems. They're being denial. They go to the prison, they don't do nothing but lift weights. Get all big and muscular, six pack, 12 pack, whatever the fuck, and I wanted to get out and smoke all that shit up. So that's our responsibility. That's my reaching out. That's my reach one. I go to the penitentiary, I work with youth, I'm a mentor. I bring my mentees to the fucking meetings. They said, Mr. Donald, we don't want to go to all the old people there. I said, old people was young people at one time. So I got to take them to the literature. You know what the literature say about the potential addict, the one that ain't got here yet? That's what they're talking about. Your sons, your grandsons, your nephew, your nieces. That's disruptive behavior. We trying to figure out why she's running away. Why she got a little boy calling her 2 a.m. Why he's staying out late. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That's why. That's why we need to be a good example. Don't think your kids don't know what you're doing when you talk about going to meetings. Because you be here talking about the 12 steps and be at home talking about some other shit. You got to be an example at home too. I know some people in my area, they dress up good, look real good, and their kids look like bums. So I get with the kid. So I talk to the kid, I find out who their mother is. Who their father is. So I said, why you don't want to go to school? Mr. Donald, I ain't got nothing to wear. So I see her at the meeting, I be wanting to tell her, you need to pry some of the fucking ropes around your neck and go buy your kids some sneakers. Because she coming to the meeting with all the jury on. But the son ain't got no sneakers. So this thing ain't about talking it. It's about being body-bodied. Body-bodied. At home, too. To our kids. Reach them first. Family first. Forget about the other addicts. We talk about the potential addicts. Because our kids misbehave too. So why am I bypass them to go, the newcomer's the most important person. Hey, the potential addict could be the most important. Yeah. Hit them before they get there. Hit them before they make their first jail, their first arrest. And all that stuff. How much am I? I feel pretty good. Even after falling in the dirt. And it was ripping. But everything happens for a reason. Nate, it's over, Nate. I'm still laughing at me. He saw it. You know what helped me up? So now you're going to rib on me. But you helped me up. You were so humble when you figured, oh, you're all right. Now you're talking shit to me. See what I'm saying? Addicts. See how addicts do you? They'll hold you 1 minute and talk about your ass today. Now, I guess you want a hug now. See what I'm saying? I ain't fucking with you. You just like me. Get another pepper for his ass, New York. The lying at it. Hey, nothing about recovery like George said. We have fun. I ain't going to meetings and all that shit. Everybody's sitting around like it's a funeral. We the only people that got a second chance to live. Be happy. Be happy. Joyous and free. That's what this thing is all about. If you're not being happy, joyous, and free, guess what? You're wasting a lot of valuable get high time. So we had fun. We worked the steps. We lived the steps to the best of our ability. We understand the principles. We get into the traditions. We understand what's going on. We know the group is important. We know groups don't recover, though, but individuals do. So I'm a quiet down. I'm going to share what I always share when I close. And it was written by one of the co-founders of the program, Jimmy Kay. And it said, we do recover. Because you can bet your ass we recover. And it goes a little like this. There's no model of the recovering addict. When the drugs go, and the addict work the program. Understand what I'm saying. Understand. When the drugs go and the addict works the program, wonderful things happen. If you let the drugs go, and you don't work the program, then the damn thing gonna happen. So when the drugs go and the addict work the program, wonderful things happen. Lost dreams awakening, a new possibility arises. Our willingness to go spiritually keep us buoyant. It's our actions that are important. We need the results to a higher power. Thanks for listening.